This is for Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. It's about time we globalize the intifada. Listen close, I've got six words for Obama. Long live Palestine, long live Gaza. Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. It's about time we globalize the intifada. Listen close, I've got six words for Obama. Long live
Hello,
Palestine,
I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. And once again, we take another conversation and trip through the world of hip-hop in our world. And we're talking right now with Nancy Mansour and M1, who are part of the Bus Stop Hip Hop Tour 2010. And both welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you as well.
And M1, of course, is a name that many of us know, who is one of the leading figures in hip hop in our country and around the globe, part of Dead Prez. So it's great to meet you, at least via the airwaves, M1. And Nancy, we know about your work as well, and your sister, Shadia. So let's talk about this. I'm curious, when our mutual friend Nancy sent this to me, I'm curious about how this came about. You have this kind of multiracial group of young artists from all over who want to do some theater and some workshops throughout the West Bank. Talk about how that happened.
How it happened is, for obvious reasons, I mean, Shadia, my sister, is a rapper, one of the first female Palestinian rappers on the scene.
Don't they call her the first lady of Arabic hip-hop? Isn't that somebody?
Yes, she is.
Right.
And, I mean, first of all, I've had the pleasure of doing radio in New York, so I've met a lot of amazing people, and I've had a chance to work with a lot of amazing people. And just after what happened last year with the, I mean, obviously Palestine's been part of me my whole life being Palestinian, but after last year being here and just feeling helpless, we decided we wanted to do something. And Existence is Resistance is actually myself, my sister from another Mr. Miriam, and also our brother, Ayman. And we came together and started an organization and said that, you know, seeing that hip-hop was growing quickly in the Arabic world, especially in Palestine where it started, where Arabic hip-hop started, pardon me, we decided that we should take the people that we know out there and also connect the youth. That's the newest project, of taking the youth out there and also educating Palestinian youth on where hip-hop started. And obviously, who better to start with than M1?
Yeah. All right. M1, the world of hip-hop has had a lot of critique from around lots of people, and especially for its kind of lack of a political consciousness sometimes on parts of some. But you clearly have been at the root of keeping it real, as we say, keeping it political. So talk a bit about the coming your history with that and this and how you initially, you and Dead Prez got involved with the Palestinian world. Where'd that come from?
Well, I mean, but, you know, I have to just go back to the inception of what Dead Prez means in the world. You know, when I engaged in myself in becoming a hip hop artist, you know, I was you know, mentored, you know, through the music of many artists who held you know, the word as a tool to get out the frustrations and the aspirations of the African community inside the United States. And so this is down the line of my, you know, my lineage. This is my lineage, my rap lineage. And so it's only right that from the formation of Dead Prez, we decided that what we would do is use hip hop as a tool to create liberation messages, create messages of power that could be used by a movement that could see the world as a place that was divided amongst people who wanted to see the world prosper versus those who kind of who had been holding back humanity and history and progress for the longest time, and who I felt like I had been under the boot of personally for all of my life. So when we were able to talk to and go around and engage with other communities who were going through this, you know, who had the same enemy, it's only right that we formed, you know, a solidarity, a unity of will and action with communities, and obviously between the African community and the Palestinian community, we have a lot in common in that way, as well with uniting with other oppressed communities around the world. Of course, the idea is that, you know, we have one common enemy, which I can sum up as imperialism, and then so, you know, it through that movement and through all that I was able to touch down with people like Nancy and Existence is Resistance and many, you know, Palestinian organizations who are working in and rooted inside the African community in Brooklyn and you know, Chicago and just every in Oakland, California, every place that I am, even Houston, Texas, where I'm based at right now. So, you know, that's kind of how we began to do that work. We began to do some concerts and to raise awareness and resources so that we could be able to do in whatever limited way we can, because a lot of times we feel like we're limited in how we can inform people about, you know, what we want to do and how we want to take action as a community. So we did concerts and eventually I was privileged enough to be invited to Palestine by Existence is Resistance and I plan to make good on that in the West Bank. You know?
I want to talk a bit about that in a minute, because I think that's, and after having talked to the folks who were in Slingshot Hip Hop and Damn and the other groups, I want to jump into what you've alluded to a couple of times, M1, and ask you and Nancy to talk about what Existence is Resistance is, because for many folks listening to this, it's an unknown, it's something really new that was. So, Nancy, why don't you jump off of that and M1 jump in and talk a bit about Existence is Resistance and what it is.
Well, Existence is Resistance, like I originally said, you know, we came together and decided to work with youth, I guess, that more, I mean, I would say more ethnic minority. We work with youth, I don't want to say underprivileged, I guess. We want to unite marginalized youth around the world. I think our main focus right now is Palestine, and hopefully we hope to spread that around. You know, there's a bunch of, it's not just Palestine that's going through oppression and situations that they're going through. Really, our organization works with, you know, communities that are undergoing oppression, and also helping the kids empower, you know, artistic talents. Like our whole thing is that there is such, you know, violence in Palestine, number one, is I don't know, I mean, obviously you obviously know, but we're trying to take away from the violence and let the kids resist with art. Art is one of the most powerful expressions of oppression right now, I think, personally, and especially with the internet. I mean, you're talking about YouTube, Facebook. I probably wouldn't know half of the thousands of Palestinian kids' stories that I know about now if it wasn't for YouTube and Facebook. I wouldn't have met half of the kids that I met. We wouldn't have been able to do the tours that we do if it wasn't for these tools on the internet. And our whole thing is teaching the kids, you know, resistance through arts. Again, bringing the people that we bring, especially someone like M1 who could teach them where hip-hop came from. And he's also, you know, I mean, there's a million rappers too. Not every rapper is politically correct. Not every Arabic rapper is politically correct. Not every Palestinian rapper is politically correct. M1, you know, has that, obviously, that, I mean, we can go down his resume, and I'm not bigging you up because you're on the phone, Em. But,
I don't believe you.
No, we go back, so that's fine. But, you know, I just feel that, you know, he's a very positive individual in many ways, not just as an artist. And we just hope that by bringing these artists over there, number one, you know, the kids out there feel like, oh, my God, you know, even if he just came for a visit, he wouldn't even need to perform or do a workshop. If he came for a visit, they would be like, oh, my God, somebody knows that we even exist. You know what I mean? And that's a part of the existence in the name of our organization. And then, you know, and then to teach them, you know, the workshops and teach them different things, that different skills that he has. and also the not, you know, teaching them about the struggle out here. You know, everyone always wants to talk about their struggle and you know, whose struggle is worse, and it's not about that, because a struggle is a struggle. We always say there's only two sides.
That's right.
You know, I mean, there's, you know, the oppressed and the oppressor.
And I'd like to chime in with that, with that, to say that, you know, it's been tremendously helpful for me to shape my worldview, because a lot of times we find ourselves in solidarity, even in our, we have a tremendous history in the African community that was set by the trend of revolution that really popped off during the 1960s here and developed relationships internationally in Algeria, throughout Africa, in Cuba, in South America, with organizations and people who are willing to assist in fighting on this side, like Nancy was just saying, like, on this side of the question. So for me, it has tremendously helped me to shape my worldview by making concrete discoveries about what I've been theorizing about, you know, when I talk about what it might be like to live, you know, in a cage, you know, in a set up concentration camp situation, such as what's going on in Palestine today. So for me, I'm able to put kind of, you know, sticks and bones to the flesh to the mold that we've been putting out, and I'm able to come back to this side and talk to my community in an informed way about how we can actually chime in and how we what we can do. So it's a tremendous learning experience that I hope to gain from being there. I mean, Nancy talking about how tremendous how you know, crazy it would be for you know the youth or the potential rappers or the next leaders in Palestine to be able to sit down and chop it up with me. But I grow more from that experience than they grow from, at least in my point of view, from them meeting me. So I just got to say, you know, I just got to thank this organization for being in position to do this at the time, which is so important.
Yeah, and I just want to add too, like, that's the whole, you know, that's the whole result that we want. We want him to come back and be like, oh my God, you know, all the artists and especially the youth that come back, which we just hope the youth can learn from each other, you know, youth from here that are going through a struggle with the youth in Palestine, and understand these are just kids just like them. It's just on, you know, it's just in different countries. And we want all these artists and these youth to come back and speak to every single person that they know and say, oh my God, you know, I went to Palestine. And, you know, we want that we, I mean, especially for people that go first time, it's just, I think, that shock of just not really realizing how people are living out there. And then especially for the kids in Palestine, realizing what the kids go through here. You know, a lot of people don't know about Oscar Grant, and we talked about that the other day on our show in New York. And
not know about what?
Know, the kids in, about Oscar Grant.
Oh, yes. You mean the kid who was killed in Oakland.
Who was shot on
shot
camera.
And killed by the policeman,
while,
yeah.
With his hands behind his back,
right,
laid
yes.
down, face down in a train
right,
station.
Right.
And, you know, that happens in Palestine all the time. Probably not with handcuffs, just, you know, just get shot. But, you know, and the kids, you know, that tune into our show from Palestine on the net were emailing me, like, who's Oscar? Who's Oscar? And that's, you know, I think that's the connection we want to make. Like, we want everybody to understand each other's struggle. That makes us more powerful. And we're better than to start with the youth.
I'm really, one of the things you said a bit ago, Nancy, that maybe you all could talk a bit about more, is this, is what you said about taking away the violence and using art and music as a voice and as a power of resistance. That's really kind of an interesting idea, and maybe more dangerous than the violence itself to some people.
Yeah, it definitely is. I just want to say funding has been really, really hard, and we've been actually raising our money by selling T-shirts that we actually buy from the West Bank. They're union-made. They're 100% organic cotton. We have a slogan that says, hip-hop is bigger than the occupation, and I really believe it is. It really is.
So talk about, define that a bit for our people listening right now. What you mean by that?
Well, I could give you two examples. One, the media, as we all know, is extremely experienced and extremely, extremely skilled at hiding what's really going on, because they don't even call it an occupation. So they're hiding the occupation, whereas hip-hop is global. Everybody listens to hip-hop. I mean, well, not everybody, but I'll say, you know, 90% of the youth know what hip-hop is and have heard a hip-hop track. It's a lot more powerful than a kid going out and doing something that, how can I put this? I mean, obviously we don't support any type of violence, especially the stuff that's going on in Palestine. My thing is, if one of our kids goes out and uses violence and they get killed in the process, they're no good to anybody, and who's going to hear about it? You know, maybe the same people that read the same news every day, you know, the activists might hear about it. So you're talking about a very small amount of people. If you're talking about one of our kids making a hip-hop track and putting it out on YouTube, it might get a million hits. Do you know what I mean? So that's the level that we look at. So like you said, it is dangerous. I think they're going to shut down the internet, or they're going to close off some connections to some countries. That's what they're going to have to do if they're really, you know, if they want to keep doing what they're doing.
And it's already happened in certain places. I mean, look what's happened in China. You understand?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, I totally empathize. That hip hop is one of our most progressive tools of education. And the reason why it's so powerful is because it uses the same palette to communicate to people worldwide, regardless of language. Even irregardless of language, people not even understanding English.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just did a tour through Germany, and I can hold my fist up, and I can talk with the sentiment of things which are familiarized words of resistance, and we all connect to it. The ones who are ready to connect, you know what I mean? So that's why hip hop can be that dangerous too, you know.
Going back to this, to the tour you all are about to do, and I'm just it's kind of very exciting the way you are playing this, with especially with the kind of really group that you're trying to do it with. But you talked about Existence is Resistance, but I'm curious about some of the other kind of groups that help pull this together, like the Southwest Youth Collaborative and the University of Hip Hop.
Well, they are an organization in Chicago. They're actually of one part. The University of Hip Hop Chicago is part of the Southwest Youth Collaborative. It works with youth in Southside Chicago, and we've watched a couple of their shows. We've had them on a couple of events that we did in Chicago. You know, break dancers, graffiti artists, and poets. And they were just so amazing. I was just shocked. Like, just the people that I never ever thought would even know where Palestine is on the map. Like, I thought it would, you know, I thought these kids would probably say to me what grown-ups say to me in New York when they say, "Where are you from?" And I say, "Palestine." And they say, "Pakistan." And I'm like, "Yeah, Pakistan," whatever. But, you know, these kids had, like, Palestine. They were talking about the tanks and the kids and the rocks and Palestine in their poetry. And that really, really grabbed me. And, you know, and I said to my partner, I think we should take these kids with us and let them really see what Palestine's like. And like I said, while you were talking about pulling it together, we're still pulling it together, even though, you know, the time is of the essence. But so if anybody does want to donate to our cause, they can email you, right, Mark?
Yes, they can.
Because we, you know, it's been extremely hard. We did get funding from an amazing organization for the musical instruments, and we will be purchasing musical instruments also from a Palestinian store in the West Bank. And then we have to raise the money for the tickets, and I guess that's really the most expensive part. We actually also secured, because of the lack of funding, we secured free housing in the refugee camp in Nablus. So they're going to have a very, very real experience. And most of them aren't really that mad about it because, you know, no one's going there to fit in a 4-star hotel. and in actual fact, you'll get more hospitality and I don't even want to call it service, but it is, you know, like deluxe service. But these people are the most friendly, the most hospitable people you will ever meet in your life, especially in the refugee camps. I mean, all over, but especially there. And I think it's going to be an amazing experience for them to stay there and really see how these kids live every day, you know, and then come back to their life here and just be like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, so... So yeah, that's how they got involved, from us just being blown away from their performances. And also, again, like I said, I think at first we were kind of worried about taking them. They're not that young. They're young, but they're like 17, 18, even 20. You know, I wouldn't feel comfortable right now taking young kids.
Right.
You know, it's not that stable to be carrying around the responsibility of somebody's young children. But you know, I think that's and plus I think that's the age where they can, you know, you could take a 12-year-old maybe to Palestine and they might get a little attached, but then they're still 12, you know what I mean? They're still a child. I think at 18, 19 it's more real, it will really hit them and they'll come back and probably really want to do something about it, you know.
And 18, 19 can make more decisions about what they want to do than a 12-year-old as well. And know what's happening there. And I'm curious about what we talked about earlier, this from the ghetto to Gaza, the tour you did, and that talk a bit about that experience, because you talked about it almost as a really transformative moment.
Well, I framed it the ghetto to Gaza after returning back to the U.S. And the reason why was because I was meaning to communicate, and that's exactly what happened. I was able to speak to communities all across California and other places in the world about my experience there. And like I said, take more from what I learned to bring it to our community here who is trying to unite or be in solidarity with this kind of international work. So that's why I framed it from the ghetto to Gaza. But of course, that wasn't the name of the mission that I was on. I actually was taken to Palestine with an organization, this organization, Existence is Resistance, which included also some other hip hop artists, Soul Purpose or Mozzie, who was also a really good comrade of mine and Low Key in the UK, And so with these comrades, what we were attempting to do was get a glimpse at, you know, what life was like in Gaza. And unfortunately, because of the kind of bureaucracy that's underneath the Egyptian government is underneath, our time was limited. We were only able to spend maybe, less than 24 hours, in the place to do what we had to do. So, still in all, I learned a great ordeal. Even the struggle to be able to get to the border was one that I learned from. And, you know, like I said, the idea was that I take this experience back to people who would, you know, hear about Palestine on the map and have absolutely no idea about where to associate it with in our working class realities inside the United States. And so I want to be able to create a way to segue, to bridge, those things happen. And that's how the Ghetto to Gaza speaking tour was formed. And, and hopefully I can expand on that by going, to the West Bank.
And to wind down here a bit, Nancy, I want you to kind of one more time kind of give us the soul of this thing in terms of what you're trying to do and what you need from the listeners.
We need money. We need support, you know what I mean? To me also, like when we go out and stand on the street every day and ask people to donate, to take kids from here to Palestine, take artists from here to Palestine to work with the kids and teach them musical resistance, you know, even when people tell me they don't have it, just for them to stop and acknowledge us, rather than trying to pretend they're on the phone or just, you know, kind of turn their head and walk away, just for them to acknowledge us and take a card and say they'll check out the website, that's enough for me. I feel like, you know, the education in this is really, really important because, again, Palestine's it's a touchy situation. I mean, touchy subject, pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody's ready to just, you know what I mean, take it all in. But this is a very positive project. We are all about the youth. We're about taking positive individuals out there. If you don't want to teach the children, then, you know, who do you want to teach? So that's one thing that we ask. You know, anybody that can donate $10, $20, $10,000, $20,000, mm-hmm. We'd appreciate it. We haven't even made, I'd say, 25% of our budget, but we're still going to go. Like I said, instead of getting, hotels and stuff, we're going to stay in a refugee refugee camp. We have kindly been offered free food from a very well-known restaurant in the West Bank. All the venues have donated their venues because they believe in their children. So, you know, what we do want to get funding for is we had to cut down on a lot of people that we were taking. We are still taking 4 youth instead of 10.
mm-hmm.
And so it was quite a drop. And then we're now taking, I think it's 6 artists instead of 12. So, you know, it's still a large group. It's still going to be amazing. It's still going to be powerful. But, you know, we're going to be raising money to the last minute. I would like to be able to have the youth stay somewhere like Jerusalem for one day. So if we raise enough money, we'll do that. You know, instead of us having to rent a car and drive around, we would love to be able to get a driver. you know, and also, again, you know, that's giving the Palestinians money. We're not spending it anywhere but Palestine. There is no admin fees. None of us get paid for this. We all have 9-to-5s, which is where I'm talking to you from right now. but, you know, so if anybody can donate, you know, I always say 25 cent and up, because my fingers are a little chubby and I can't count dimes and nickels. But if people, whatever they can afford to donate, we will gladly take it. You know, Southwest Youth Collaborative will kindly take checks. And they are, you know, it's a non-for-profit. So if people need receipts, they could definitely get receipts. It's no problem. Again, you can email Mark Steiner or even our email as well, questions@existenceisresistance.org.
Well, this has been great.
And if I can chime in on the Malu last word, I just got to say that anybody listening, I, you know, from my perspective as an artist and so-called hip-hop, you know, to me it's much bigger than hip-hop. This is the music from my soul. It's got to be about humanity, and I'm trying to connect with the hearts and souls and the minds of people, real people everywhere, to know and let people know that, you know, this is what we want in Palestine. We want to see, you know, real humanity, real justice, real life, real existence to happen in the most proper kind of way. It's so funny. I was on a plane from Frankfurt, Germany, the other day, and I sat beside a man who was a professor in Haifa, and he talked about hip hop. He was a physicist, actually, not a professor. Well, he did teach, and he was a physicist, and he had no idea about what hip hop was about, but he did know about the situation that's happening, you know, in Palestine and in the West Bank. And what we did agree on was that there has to be a conclusion that we both can come to that is good for humanity. And at the end of the day, I hope people can know that we are all that's what we're striving for. And you know, at the end of the day, that's the bottom line for us. You know, it's real life for everybody and everywhere. And we all deserve it.
Nancy Mansour and M1, thank you both so much for being here. It's been a great to talk to you all, and good luck with the Bus Stop Hip Hop Tour 2010.
So thank you, and I hope you got everything you need from me.
It was good.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you both. Long live Gaza, Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show, Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short break.
Zionism's not compatible with Judaism. The hijacked faith.
The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. And over 70 years later, they're still here to help people during difficult times. More information is available at MECU.com.
كم من دليل يصرخ عليه اترك المطرقة اعطيني حرياتي واربط لي
Tears to laughter, our children don't fear disaster. Living near the master, clear the fastest, hear the casket. We rap when we die from boom-bastic talk. Looms after hot summer days in the thunder blaze. They murk your dreams like Theodore Herzl screams in the UN in 48. Third intifada for mother's daughters, sons martyred and empty fathers.
حقي عودي وبس مجتمع كامل بالحبس رصاص ضرب وضرب المطر كبس وكبس النفس لكن قطع حتى الطفل انرفس ست حدود ام حديد شيل الطير من القفص روح طير طير يا عمي روح انت دمي حياتي